Kathy Berg at the Salida Regional Library with Gwen Pershbacher. Today is Thursday, November 6th. That's about 4 o'clock, give or take, huh? Gwen, if you could just give us a brief history of you and your family, where you were born, where you were brought up, and then, of course, when you got to Salida, which is what we're really looking for.
Okay. I was born in Rice County, Kansas, on a farm. And I was born May 27th, 1928. My parents were Prentice Hartford Kane and Ruth Emma Catherine Kane. Ruth Emma Catherine Rents Kane. And that's R-E-E-N-T-S. And we moved to Mitchell, which was a town maybe with dogs and cats, about 100, maybe less. And my grandfather Rance owned the only grocery store. In that building was a post office and a barber shop. And my father farmed for a while, and then he went to work for the salt plant in Lyons. And when I was in second grade, we moved to the country near between Sterling and Lyons, Kansas, and I went to Union 2 school. I had gone to the Mitchell school before that. And I should say I didn't go much because I had rheumatic fever, and so I went about 3 months my first grade, and my second grade I missed about 3 months. And then a short period in my second grade, we lived in Lyons, and I rode the train back and forth to school, which was 7 miles, and it just, the times coincided with school hours. And then when I went the rest of the time in Mitchell until I was in eighth grade, and the middle of the year we moved to Lyons, and I went to the junior high there, and half of my freshman year. And then in November of 1942, we moved to Klamath, Colorado. My dad was already out here because he was draft age, and my mom thought he might be drafted, so she wanted to come out, and he told us that all the housing that he could find was a cabin about 4 miles below Climax, which had no modern conveniences, and I mean no modern by the fact we got our water out of the creek, and we had an outside toilet, and we had coal-burning stoves, wooden coal-burning stoves, and we had gas lamps and kerosene lamps, and where we lived, we had an inside bathroom and all the convenience of modern days. So it was quite an experience for us. My sister was about 2 years old, and Mom and I came out by ourselves, and we had the car loaded with stuff. We had no mattresses on top of our car, however, which was not unusual in those days.
Do you remember what kind of a car you drove?
It was a Ford. I think probably 39, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. 37, 39 Ford. And actually, we followed from Colorado Springs to Climax or Leadville. They were moving into Camp Hale then from Fort Carson, and we got in that line, and we stayed in that line most of the way. My mother had never driven in the mountains before, and she was an excellent driver, but she didn't drive for quite a while after we got here because she realized what she'd just done.
Yeah.
And I went to Climax to school half of my freshman year and my sophomore year.
Do you remember how big Climax was at that time?
I don't know how big Climax itself was. A lot of people lived in Leadville. A few lived in Frisco. And they had a boarding house. A lot of men lived in the boarding house. But I really don't know how big it was. The school was very small.
How many kids and teachers?
Well, there were very few teachers. I think I had about 5 teachers probably all together, and one of them was a superintendent. I think they could make more at mining than they could teaching, probably. And I frankly didn't think the teachers were very good. They had no discipline. And I was used to, a lot of it just seemed like the kids behaved better. I don't know. And then we moved to Climax itself in March of that year. We were there in the cabin from November to March, and we moved into a duplex, which was very nice. And lots of snow. That's the thing that I've really noticed has changed in this whole valley, is the amount of snow that piles up. We used to go to Camp Hale now and then because there was a young man stationed there that we had known from Lyons, and we could watch the latest movies. And that was always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them came to ski in Climax, and I usually brought some of them home, and Mom always had a pie or something special for them. Then my sophomore year, I also went at Climax, and then I knew I was going to go into nursing school, and I had to have Latin, and I had to have chemistry, and they didn't teach Latin at Climax, so my parents arranged with an aunt and uncle of mine for me to live there and work for my board and room, and so I went back to Lyons 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I rode the train back and forth at Christmas. I usually came home Christmas. That was the only vacation that I came home. And then in the summer, I came home. So that's why I lived in Colorado and graduated from Lyons High School.
Okay. Now I understand.
And then after that, I went into nursing at Denver General, which was called the Colorado Training School for Nurses. And it was the first nursing school this side of the Mississippi. And Denver General was quite an experience, to say the least. And we worked 6 days. Well, we went to school about 6 weeks just to get the initial part of how to give a bath, how to take a temperature, and real basic kinds of things. And then we worked full-time and went to school also. We worked a lot of nights, a lot of 3-11s. And we worked 6 days a week. One of the biggest snowstorms they ever had in Denver, they had that November of 46. And I think they had one recently that maybe beat it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But like snow does in Colorado, it leaves very quickly if it's the right time of year.
Yeah, the sunshine.
There were 22 women that started with me, and there were 10 of us that graduated. And actually, there were 12, but three of them actually came from another class. Either they'd gotten married or they had a baby or something, and then they came back. And that's one thing about Denver General. They took all nationalities, and they also, you could be married. And that was something a lot of girls would get married 2 months before they were to graduate, and they were found out they didn't graduate. So Denver General was not that strict. However, we did wear black hose and black shoes and a striped uniform. That was our first uniform. It was called a Proby uniform.
And Proby?
Proby.
P-R-O-B-I-E. Mm-hmm.
And most people wondered what we were doing there because that was a uniform they hadn't seen before. Then the Colorado University took over our school when we were about halfway through, and we only had 2 weeks vacation each year. It was year round, and so they were going to, that year they didn't want us to have any vacation because they wanted to give us more. Well, we managed to get 1 week.
Do you remember what year it was?
We rebelled. It was probably 1948.
Okay.
Mid-1948. And, but as a result of that, we had some affiliations. We went to other hospitals, went to Colorado General for outpatient, went to National Jewish for tuberculosis. And I might say there were a lot of displaced persons from Europe there. Then we went to Children's for what they called contagion, and a lot of polio then. Then we went to a visiting nurse service, went to Pueblo for psych, and as bad as psych was in some ways, I think it beats people being on the street like they are today. It's very concerning to me about the mental health part of our health system. Then I graduated in 1949, and I went to work on pediatrics. I really like pediatrics a lot. But I've had a very bad experience with a little girl that was burned. I don't know if you would remember, but sometimes people put kerosene on fires so they'd really go. And her father had done that, and it, she had been there and caught her on fire, and she had terrible burns. She lived about a week, and I don't think they ever controlled the pain. And I don't remember the night she died, what a horrible experience it was, because the father blamed the doctors, and all the kids, the ward was fixed with glass from about, like a wainscoting and then glass, and they all heard all of this, and you're trying to comfort them, and it was just, it was really a bad, bad situation. Anyway, then I decided that I would leave Denver General, and I went home, or I called my parents and said I decided to leave. My father wanted me to join the service, and thank goodness I didn't. I'd probably ended up in Korea.
Wait, he wasn't going to join the service?
No,
but he
didn't,
wanted you to join.
He thought it'd be a good idea for me. That would be a good way for me to get more education. Because they'd actually wanted me to go to college before I went. And what I found was most girls that had gone to college never finished nursing school at Denver General. And that was kind of understandable in a way. Anyway, so also I was a good tax deduction for my parents. And so I quit 2 weeks before the 1st of January. And I had moved out of the dorm. I lived with two other graduates in a house on South Sherman in Denver. We rode the trolley back and forth to Denver General. Anyway, then I went to Glenwood, and I applied at the hospital that was where the swimming pool is now. And she said, well, most young girls don't like to come here because there's no eligible men. So anyway, that didn't deter me. I went to the next hospital, which was on the third floor of a bank. It was a 22-bed hospital, and one doctor ran the hospital. And they would have hired me that day, but it was during this Christmas break. And so I did go to work there the 1st of January. My recollection is that I made $150. And they took 10 out for Blue Cross Blue Shield.
$150 a month?
A month. And we worked 6 days a week. And we rotated shifts. We worked 2 days, and then one week 3 to 11, and then 1 week nights.
Do you remember the name of the hospital?
Porter's.
Porter's.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Netting was the doctor that ran it. And interestingly enough, he had taken his internship here. Externship, I think they called it, at Salida Hospital. And in fact, he just recently died at 100. And he was great to work for. We had a kitchen where we all ate. They had a big round table, and everybody sit down at noon, and that's where we ate unless you were busy. We all scrubbed in the OR. In fact, we even poured ether, which we shouldn't have been doing, but we did. And OB and surgery in the same room.
Because you weren't a doctor? Is that right? You
shouldn't have been. No, nurses did pour ether then, but I hadn't had any specific training for that. And they did watch us close, and we didn't lose any patients, but it was kind of scary. But they expect you to know how to do everything, and there wasn't a lot to do other than surgery, OB, few medications, and and a lot of care and comfort, I guess you'd say. We only had one bathroom, and everybody got a bed bath in. And let's see, what is something else I was going to tell? Oh, and I remember the narcotics were hid in the kitchen. We didn't even have them locked up. And we had a bad experience there with two nurses that came to work, and Strick, who was the person that hired and did the bookwork, she hired immediately because we were always short of nurses. And they didn't last one shift. They were into the narcotics, and it was a bad scene. But anyway, I worked there all the time I was in Glenwood, and I really liked it. Doctor was very good. He liked to play cards, for one thing. So when he came from the card playing, always if you were working 3 to 11, he came to check. Or if it was later, you were on nights to see if there was anything going on that he might be needed for. And you always knew where he was. He always kept you well informed where he was. Anyway, we moved to Buena Vista then from Glenwood. Ray was an only child, and we were married in Glenwood, I should...
You met him.
Met him in Glenwood, and a friend of mine who was in nursing school with me came to Glenwood also. She also met her husband, so we always laughed about Mrs. Sample saying that, you know, there weren't any eligible men. Well, we've managed to find them.
Found the two that were there.
Right. Anyway, Ray, being an only child, his dad was ill with lupus, and they owned a grocery store in Buena Vista, and they really needed him to come to Buena Vista to help, so that's what we did. I was really reluctant to do that, but sometimes you don't have a lot of choices in a situation like that. There was no doctor in Buena Vista then. There was a drugstore. And people found out I was a nurse, and I was giving shots and drawing blood and doing that type of thing quite frequently.
Home visits?
Well, I did do home visits for drawing blood because it was a doctor in Leadville that wanted that. And there was one when I was pregnant, and I'd miscarried once, and they wanted me to go horseback up in the mountains, and it was in the winter, and Ray wouldn't let me go because he was afraid something might happen. Anyway, they did get a doctor later in Buena Vista, but that was after we had moved. And there was someone from Fort Carson that they were at Camp Hale, but a lot of them lived in Buena Vista, and she was pregnant.
Do you remember what year you moved to Buena Vista?
We moved there in September of 51.
Okay.
And we stayed there until September of 55 when we moved to Salida. In the meantime, I had three children.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in 9 different places, including a motel, Buena Vista. Everything was for sale. And so when something sold, we had to move. And one time, we didn't have any place to move, so we moved into a motel. And in fact, I think about that a lot of times because we had two couples with children come and visit us, and I still, when I see the motel, it looks like a outside toilet almost. It's so small.
And they all stayed in the motel room?
They stayed with us.
Yeah.
You never rented motel rooms, and you were all too poor to do anything extravagant like that. And I was pregnant with Mike at the time. We had to sleep in a 3-quarter bed because to get Kirby's crib in the bedroom. And then the bathroom was through. You had to go through the bedroom to the bathroom. And in the bathroom was an ice box, which drained into the shower drain. And then we had a coal-burning stove in it, too. That was my first real experience, because my mother never let me cook. So that's my first real experience in cooking on coal, or wood and coal. Anyway, we moved to Salida in 1955. Actually, when I had Ruth in April of 1955, the director of nursing, who was Miss Vogelsberg, talked to me about coming to work there. They always said the directors of nursing recruited nurses and then blamed them for not staying home and take care of their children.
So you're talking about the hospital here.
The Salida Hospital. Mm-hmm. And they had gone to 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I started full-time, but I found just getting a babysitter was a major problem. And Ray was working for New York Life then and traveled a lot. So that didn't work out, so I went to work part-time. And sometimes that was very uncertain because 30 minutes before you need to be to work, they'd call and want you to work. But eventually, Mrs. Plewis, who lived across the alley from me.
How do you spell that?
P-L-E-W-E-S, Irene Plewis, babysat for me. And she would come at a minute's notice, and I couldn't have had it any better. For one thing, she came to the house, which was, I didn't have to get three little ones ready to go to work. And the hospital here was, I don't know, it was more modern than the one that I'd worked in before.
So was it officially called the Salida Hospital?
It was Rio Grande.
Right.
The Rio Grande still owned it then, and it was during my tenure there, and I can't tell you the year when that was, that it changed from the Salida Hospital. I worked there till 1970, off and on, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Our oldest son had what's called leg perthes and was in a double hip spica cast for about 2.5 years, so I didn't work during that time. And then Ray had some serious eye problems and couldn't drive, so I didn't work during that time. And I mostly worked on second floor, which was basically surgery and OB, but sometimes we also had coronaries, and we had what they called a sun porch. And a lot of elderly people, even some of the people we had as patients would be in the nursing home today, but the sun porch, most of those patients would be considered nursing home patients today.
What was the sun porch like? Was it actually out on a porch?
It was. The hospital, like, it had a corridor and then rooms on either side, and then at the end, on like a T, was the sun porch, lots of windows, and kind of reminded you of the TB sand.
But it was enclosed?
Yes, it was enclosed, uh-huh. And we did admit patients there sometimes. In fact, I can remember having patients in the hall there because they just had an overflow of patients. First floor was medical. I worked very little down there. Part of the time I was what they call 311 supervisor. I worked a lot of 311 because it was real handy with children. And then I worked as director of nursing for a very short time. It was supposed to be 2 weeks. Ended up being considerably longer than that. And that was an experience that I don't want to have again. But anyway, it was shortly after that that I decided that I wasn't going to, that I needed to quit and do something else. And I did go back and taught the first nurse aid classes there. And became friends with a lot of people that, but I also got in trouble with one of the doctors over one of the people that I was training, and so that ended my career at Salida Hospital. But I still have a lot of friends. In fact, we have a retired nurses luncheon once a month, and a lot of those retired from the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And don't you have some kind of a reunion of your classmates?
Yes, we do have.
The newspaper a couple months ago or last summer?
Yes. We first class reunion we had in 1959, which was 10 years after we graduated, and my husband's doing some pictures now, and that one of the, it's so different when we all had gloves, hat, purse, dresses. And now if we have our sweatshirts on and our sandals, why we're happy. Yeah, things have changed a lot. We still were wearing uniforms and caps when I left Salina Hospital. And in fact, I worked for mental health for a while, too. I kind of started that before I left Salina Hospital. They needed someone kind of like an intake person. And that was a volunteer job, actually. But that is, I liked mental health. In fact, I always thought I might become a psychiatric nurse, but I didn't. Anyway, I did that for a while. And then when the nursing home was built, why, I went out there thinking, oh, I might go back to the hospital and I'd learn the new medications well.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the nursing home?
Columbine Manor.
Okay.
And in fact, I was with the group that worked to have a nursing home here, separate from the hospital, because they had had a nursing home at the hospital. And it was, I think there's a lounge there now and maybe medical records. I'm not real sure because the hospital's been remodeled. In fact, I quit the day the first remodeling happened after I went to work there. It was on July 1st, but I can't remember the year for sure. Was it 70? It was before that because I'd gone back with the nurse aid classes. And anyway, it was not the best nursing home in the world. At the hospital, they had no activities of any kind, and I just saw some things there I didn't like. And I also was hoping that nursing home would be patterned after a home and not the medical model of a hospital. It's turned out it's happened anyway, but that was certainly my hope when I fought for them not to have it at the hospital.
So about what year was it that Columbine was established? Do you remember?
1972, I believe. Okay. And I think they had their open house on Mother's Day of that year, and I went to work in October of that year. Mm-hmm. Again, I went to work part-time, and within 2 weeks I was full-time. And Mr. and Mrs. Vandiver, he was the administrator, and she was the director of nursing. And they just devoted their life to the nursing home. They really did. They were there every day, except he went to Mexico to get his teeth. And they wanted me to be in charge. They both went. And the first day I was sick.
To get his teeth.
Okay. He had his teeth pulled down there because it was a lot less expensive. A lot of people were doing that then. Anyway, and the medication room was about as big as a small closet, and I was sick to my stomach, so I would get real faint, and I'd go outside, and then I'd come back, I'd go in and out, because I just couldn't let him down. I was the only nurse there, so anyway, I got through that, and I really enjoyed it there, and then they left, and after they left, I became director of nursing, and I was there about 2 years.
What year?
And I think that was 78 to 80. Okay. And Leslie Meyer was one of the administrators, and then Paris Filbert was the next administrator. And she was a lab technician, and actually she had been administrator of a hospital in Kansas. But she started as a nurse aide out there and ended up being the administrator, and she was just devoted to the place. And I hated to leave her because she was hard to leave when someone you have that much respect for.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I did, and let's see, what did I do next? I think then I was thinking about going to Del Norte or working in a hospital that was smaller than Salida, maybe going back to work at the hospital. And I did work at Del Norte for about 6 months, I guess. And it was a small hospital, and actually they were, I think, really going broke. One of the sisters ran that hospital. And I told him, you know, I can go home anytime, but it's the only place I have ever worked in my whole career where they had enough staff. I guess that's why they went broke.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, they are building a new hospital, I hear, over there.
Oh.
And then I worked as a traveling nurse in Lahana. You have to promise to work at least a month, and I told him I'd work a month to 6 weeks. And it was a very busy hospital. It reminded me a lot of Denver General. And I worked nights, and they provide you a place to stay, and which was... It was interesting, but it was pretty overwhelming to me, too, because at night you had to do everything. Everybody was traveling. Nobody was local. And that's a very poor situation, I think, because nobody knew the doctors. You hardly know the layout of the hospital.
Was it because they couldn't get nurses?
All the nurses they had from their local nurses were on day shift, and which... I don't know whether they didn't pay enough to draw nurses or what, but I did work with two traveling nurses that had done it a long time, and I was very impressed with them. They really were excellent nurses, but it just wasn't for me.
So, and all this time while you were traveling from Del Norte to La Junta and so on, the family was still in Salida.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The first time I ever lived by myself was when I went to Del Norte. I'd lived with my parents, my grandparents. I'd lived with roommates.
Mm-hmm.
I'd lived with my husband and my family. And it was really a nice break for Ray and I. We really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
Because I came home and he'd come down there when I had days off. And mm-hmm. and another thing, I could go to workshops and never feel I was denying the family of anything. So it was, and our youngest son was grown basically mm-hmm. then, so
yeah, so it was okay.
It was worked out.
What was it like raising three children in Salida in the
50s, 60s, 70s?
70s, that's 30 years.
Well, one thing I think I told you before that, you know, we went to the park to play. We rarely went to the park. We put the kids' picnics we usually had, we either had in our backyard or we had out in the hills, because mm-hmm. They like to be out in the hills a lot. And we also had vacant lots behind our place, so they played baseball there and did all kinds of things in that vacant lot.
Do you remember the address?
We lived at 932F,
mm-hmm.
and that house is still there, and I've been in it recently. We remodeled it. Oh, when our youngest son was about 2 years old, and except for some changes in the bathroom, they have done very little to it. It's just pretty much like mm-hmm. it was then. Oh, they did build in the front porch. We had a front porch that they built in. And
so you were across from Alpine Park?
No. No, we were at 932F.
Oh, 932. Oh, that's yeah, further up.
Between 9th and 10th. That's all right.
We
lived there 27 years, I guess.
Mm.
And it was hard to move. It was a four-bedroom. In fact, I should tell you, going back, how we happened to be in that house. When we moved from Buena Vista, we came to Salida and looked, and the places that we looked at, one of them had chickens in it. But places they think things are hard to find now, it wasn't any easier in the 50s. And so Ray's aunt and uncle lived in Salida, so we asked them to keep their eyes and ears open. And Ray's aunt called, and this house, the man had committed suicide. Anyway, it was in an estate, and I don't know whether she knew him or what, but she knew that they might rent it. So Ray talked to him, and I said, well, do they know we have three little kids? And he said yes. Anyway, it was totally furnished. And one room they wanted to keep because... the people by the name of Bob had lived there, and they were arrowhead hunters. And they, in fact, I think those are on display.
Museum.
I can't think of it. They are in Colorado, near the border. It's not Cortez, but over in that area.
Dolores?
And maybe it's just across New Mexico.
Farmington,
I think. Maybe they're in the display in Farmington. They had a beautiful china cupboard, and I remember I just felt they should take it out because I was afraid something might happen to it. And they took it out and gave it to somebody else. And that's the house we ended up buying a year later once the estate was settled. And it had what they called a trash burner in the kitchen and a pot-bellied stove in the living room. And that was the first thing we did. We got a furnace, a natural gas furnace. And anyway, the Whitties, Mac and Marmy Whitty, lived on the corner, and they had lots of kids. So I was worried about my kids getting out of the yard, so I had Ray put the latch on the outside of the gate instead of the inside of the gate. But the Whitty kids came over and over. But interesting enough, they never went in the street. I never had any trouble with them. But in Buena Vista, there was rarely a car, and F Street was not as busy as today, but it was a busier street. Yeah. And we had two apple trees, and I always remember telling the kids not to eat the green apples, they'd get the bellyache. They never did. They ate the apples anyway. And they all went to Longfellow. And when Kirby was in the cast, Ray thought we needed another car so I could take him back and forth to school. Well, that was totally impractical. You not only had to get him in the car, you had to get the wheelchair in the car, and then you had to get them both out. So I just took him back and forth in the wheelchair. I should tell you that he was homeschooled for a while, and it was on Valentine's Day, and he was in first grade. And the teacher said, they invited him to the party. And he was all ready to go to the party, and he got to the door, and he didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. And I told him, well, everybody was just looking forward to him, and he had all his cards and everything. And I realized then that there was one boy that came regularly to see him. Otherwise, except for his brother and sister, he didn't see anybody to play with so much. And he loved baseball, so that was really hard for him. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I went to school that day, and when I went to pick him up, the teacher said, is there any reason he can't come to school? And I said, well, I don't really know of any reason he can't. So from that day on, he went to school. Oh. And he did have the measles, I think, in the one time. They had to change his cast every 3 months because he was growing. And he was able to get on and off the toilet, and the kids, mm-hmm. in fact, the kids almost fought over getting him out on the playground. Then when he was in third grade, the old school, old Longfellow school, was two-story. And in fact, I remember being pregnant with Mark and carrying him up to, you had to go up the stairs to get on the first floor. Then you had to go up another flight of stairs to get the scout meeting where he was going. Anyway, Ray and I had gone to the school board and asked if there would be possible for them to put the third grade in the new Longfellow school, which was much smaller than it is now, but that was the first one-story building they built over there. And so they did change it for us, and I was really pleased about that because it just made it so much easier for us. In fact, in January of that year, he was out of the cast before that. He was out of the cast in December. And I remember a remark Ruth made, said, "You're sure tall, Kirby. I didn't know you were so tall."
He's sitting down.
Anyway, he walked. He walked. And you can't imagine what those legs looked like after being in a cast for 2.5 years. And before that, he was on crutches. And but that was a battle after that because he wanted to use his crutches all the time. He didn't want to walk. So finally we got him a bicycle. They didn't do any physical therapy then. And I should have known better, actually. But anyway, he didn't break a leg on the bicycle, and it did strengthen his leg, so it worked out really well. And the kids did really well in school. I think there was like 30 or 35 when Ruth was in third grade. They really were overcrowded. And when Mark was in kindergarten, he was quite a bit younger than the other children. They had three sessions of kindergarten. They would be like, think 2 hours, 2 hours, and 2 hours or something like that. And he didn't want to go to school to begin with, and I made him change his clothes, which that was a bummer. Don't ever do that, poor kid.
Really, fast showering.
And he did get sent home from school when he's in kindergarten. And the teacher called me, and she said, he's coming home. She said, I don't know what's wrong with him. He kissed one girl and took somebody else's 10-cent piece, and I don't know. Anyway, so I looked up looking for him, and here he comes to walk.
Forlorn. Well, discipline was different then.
Well, he pretty soon broke down crying. He felt pretty bad about it, but anyway, that's family stuff. That's right. Not slightest.
Well, can you tell us something about the different stores downtown, where you went shopping, where you went grocery shopping, what was around in the 50s and 60s that maybe we don't see now, but maybe the building is still visible?
Well, there was White's Stationery and Bookstore, which I believe that building was torn down when they built the new First National Bank, which is now Pueblo Bank and Trust. Mm-hmm. And there was a Gilbert store, which was all women's clothes, and that was also on that same block, 200 block of F Street, on going up from First Street, it'd be on the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. And what else? Well, of course, Cruz Bags was still there. And then across the street, there was... I can't remember the name of that store, but where ended up being, I think, public service. Although I read someplace where that had been a skating rink just recently, or a roller skating rink at one time. I think it was in the paper I read that. But I think there was a clothing store in there. And then there was Everybody's Store, which Mrs. Budd and her sister ran, and it was Everybody's Store. If there's anything you were looking for, they had it. Might take them a while to find it, but they did. I just couldn't believe that store.
Clothes, hardware, everything.
Well, they didn't have hardware, but any kind of clothes or sewing kind of things or material, all of that sort of thing.
So did you do most of your shopping and living and entertainment and recreation in the area?
Or yes.
Did you ever... I know nowadays a lot of people go to Colorado Springs or Denver for this or that, but everything was contained here.
Rarely did we shop anyplace else. Occasionally in Pueblo, because we did go to the eye doctor in Pueblo. But, in fact, this was kind of a center for shopping for the surrounding area. Mm-hmm. Leadville did have some shopping area, but a lot of people from there came to Salida. A lot of people from the San Luis Valley and then down the Arkansas Valley, they came here. So Salida was a pretty busy place, actually. And there was City Market here. It was I don't know that it had any connection with the city markets they have now.
But that's what it was called, City Market.
And
where was that? Do you remember?
It was where the community bank is now.
Okay.
And then across the street where Dr. Lund's office is now, there was, I want to say, Firestone store, but I may be wrong about that. And then there was a Montgomery Ward store, which was a catalog store where it was a bookstore. Now it's kind of a gift shop on the corner of 2nd and F.
Mm-hmm. Adventure Media, where that was.
Mm-hmm, where Adventure Media was. And, that was a grocery store when we moved to Salida. Mm-hmm. The Boys Market, I think it was called. And then, of course, where up F Street, where the t-shirt place is, mm-hmm. and then next door that mm-hmm. was also a grocery store until not too long mm-hmm. ago, actually.
The downtown.
Yeah. And let's see what. Oh, there was a children's store, very small store, which is it's turned hands so many times. I don't even know what's in there now. And they had very. She had very nice clothes. And there was a men's store on the corner of F and First, and Wagner's Drug Store across mm-hmm. the street. And then there was Salida Drug, which was on the alley on the same side as Wagner's. And Sharp's was between the two, and which was a woman's store. And then Gamble's, where it is now. And then there was Katie's Hardware. And
C-A-D-Y.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then on across from where the bakery is now, mm-hmm. Across the alley from where the bakery is now, there was Patterson Hardware Store mm. when we first came here. And then there, down on Lower F Street, there was a big dry goods store. Seems like Fitzgerald. It was a, but that's not right. I can't remember. Dunstan's, I think it was mm. Dunstan's. And there was a liquor store on the corner of First and F. And I can't remember what was in the one where the art store is across the street. I remember what was there. There were quite a few liquor stores and bars downtown then. Because I remember one time I had to deliver papers for Mark because he was sick and the other kids had sports and things. And he delivered the downtown area. And it's the first time I realized that people drank before 5 o'clock in the evening and danced. And here I've wow. let this little kid go down and deliver
yeah. papers. Were there any interesting characters that you recall that, you know, were in town, or just interesting people that you dealt with, whether it was, you know, through commerce or friends or...
Well, I'm trying to think. Dick and Bessie Law lived next door to us, and they had Law Printing, and... but they... were retired when we moved here, and after he died, why she and they were very interesting people, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to think of.
I mean, politically,
I wasn't too political then.
Then, oh well, my things have changed.
Well, things kind of... I do remember that... One thing I remember about the streets in Salida, they were much better than they are now.
In what way?
They were well...
Maintained.
And the other thing is, I remember when Leonard Post became... I think he was just on the police force. I don't think he was the head of the police force. That he came around and you were to fix your sidewalks if they weren't proper and that type of thing, and then they got the leash law. That was a big thing in Salida mm-hmm. when they got the leash law. Mm-hmm. There was almost a revolt. I can remember I had a cousin that she and her husband came here and worked for West Central Mental Health, and they took the newspaper, and they lived in Kansas City where he got his doctorate anyway. It was nothing to have a murder within a few blocks of where they lived, and it was the big thing here was the leash law.
A little different living in a small town. Did you know or ever have any connection with Laura Evans, I think?
No, I
or know, heard any?
I did know some of her family vaguely, but I really don't remember their names. Mm-hmm. And... I do think one of my interviewers will maybe enlighten us.
Oh, well, that's good. So is there anything else you want to impart well, to us about life in Salida?
I guess we didn't have a stoplight then. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have any four-way stops. It was always coming from Climax to Buena Vista to Salida in the spring was just like night and day because it just got greener and greener. And Salida had beautiful trees and beautiful lawns, and people really kept their places up really nice for the most part in Salida. I always felt that they did. I might say we had a taxi too for a while because I always walked to work. And so, and I know it quit at midnight because sometimes when I worked through 11, I didn't get off by then. But I sometimes took the cab home if I got home off before midnight. And that was nice because sometimes transportation is a problem here. And the trains were still running then. Mm-hmm. And the depot was still here.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for your time and energy and thought processing, trying to remember all these things that happened in Salida. So if you have nothing else to add, and I know you will the minute I turn this off.
The only thing I have to add is I would tell anybody to keep notes because 50 years later, you'd really like to know some things that you've forgotten.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've got a pretty good memory. Thank you.
You're welcome.